What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
P&E.
What's P&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory.
Put them together.
Put them hands together.
Put them together. Just saw where Onion Creek is expected to crest at about 19 feet this morning at some point today after the overnight rains down near 183. I mentioned the video of the golf course at Onion Creek, the original, underwater this morning. Heavy, heavy downpours overnight, up to 9 inches of rain in some areas of Southern Hayes and Caldwell County. So you know what that means. Be careful this morning as you're up and out. There's going to be low water crossing issues, and there will be lights on flash and all that comes with a severe storm overnight, especially south of the city. Be advised as you're up and out this morning. A lot to do, Buck. We're going to hear Joel Klatt as part of the broadcast team on Saturday for the Longhorn game with Oklahoma State, the former Colorado quarterback, along with the guy you love so much, Gus Johnson.
Gus. I love Gus.
He had a
tough at 11 a.m.
On a little podcast show he does, a video show he does for Fox. Joel Klatt had a conversation with Bijan Robinson.
Cool.
Yesterday, talking Texas football. A lot of people think he's the best player in the country right now, pound for pound. If you missed it earlier, we talked to Sam Mays, the former All-American offensive lineman at Oklahoma State back in the middle 2000s, who now does a radio show up there on the franchise in Oklahoma that airs both on afternoon drive time show that airs in Tulsa and Oklahoma City. And he said at the Red River game, he went down on the field just to see Bijan with his own eyes up close because he said he can't imagine he's that big that he sees him on TV but moves that good. And he said, dang. He went over and looked at him and said, that's a special dude right there. Special dude.
He's pretty fleet of foot for a guy as big as he is, for sure. His change of direction is incredible.
The cutting ability is just, special, uncoachable.
I just love his power at the end. At the end of runs, he displays
always falling forward,
pretty,
right?
Yeah. I haven't seen him get
hits.
I haven't seen him get slammed, like where the guy catches him, gets him clean, and he goes backwards. I haven't seen that yet. Actually, in 2 years.
So we'll hear a little bit of that, Joel.
Then again, last year, remember, he only carried it 5 times in the OU game.
And I have sent the text to Joel Klatt to maybe get him on the show today or tomorrow, but have not heard back. He's busy. He's big time these days, you know what I mean?
Well,
we used to be able to get to Joel. But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe tomorrow, because he is going to be in town for the ballgame with Texas and Oklahoma State. We'll get the headlines on that coming up, including the marquee matchup of Bijan Robinson against that stingy Oklahoma State run defense. But people are asking, can you be the fan of the White Sox and the Cubs or something like it? And this says, guys, I'm from New York City, and I'm a fan of all of the New York teams except for the Mets. So I guess he's Jets, Giants.
Yeah.
Knicks. Yankees.
Rangers.
No Mets. Yeah, New York Rangers. No Mets.
Yeah. You got to leave the Mets out. If you have to say the word Yankee, you can't put the Mets in there, period.
But like when you say fan is short for fanatic, like if you're a fanatic, you got to have one team. Like we criticize our buddy Chad Hastings because he's a fan of the Buccaneers and the Cowboys. It's like, what? Just got to pick one. I guess you can.
Oh, but he's a true Aggie fan. I've been hearing that all week.
Well, he's a graduate of the
Aggies. He's an Aggie in and out and all about.
Hey, he's
letting us all know that for sure this week.
If you're an Aggie.
He's a boasting Aggie, just shouting from the rooftops now.
Beat Almighty Nebraska or Alabama this weekend. The Almighty. You know, and you beat Alabama, you get to boast for a little while.
Yeah, he does. He's giving it to you. But, you know, your fan base is right in there. The old, you know, you guys are getting close. Here you go. Here you go with
old
that little fishing rod. Hey, here's that fishing rod with that little gold helmet. Oh, you're getting close. Come on.
These are kind of like unwritten rules of fandom, but, you know, I'm of the opinion that grown men shouldn't wear other men's jerseys, but, you know, that's kind of my rule.
Ever.
Once you're past 20, you're 25.
Now, if your kid plays on a team,
sure,
you can wear the jersey with your name
on it.
And
if you're the parent of a player at a game,
right,
and you're wearing your kid's jersey, that's good. I'm down with that.
Yeah, I've had my son's soccer sweater, you know, that little deal on with Godbolt on the back. I mean, I'll wear
down
that.
With that.
I'm down with that, right?
That's parental pride right there.
Yeah.
But if you're a 35-year-old guy wearing a Saquon Barkley jersey and Crocs, I got a problem.
You're not Saquon, okay? root for the team, but you're not Saquon, okay? You're not Emmitt Smith, but your Emmitt Smith jersey's going to games. No. I don't even know how those things sell.
Like crazy.
There are people that have closets filled with those.
Oh, and remember, buck off to Jalen Smith. Remember Jalen Smith was released by the Cowboys? Remember he had to buy all his old jerseys when he changed his number?
Oh, that hurt.
And they only kept him for like a month in his new jersey.
That hurt a lot.
He had to buy all the 54s.
That's right.
And they were selling some. Jalen Smith had a bit of a fan club, so they had a lot of jerseys to buy.
Is he on the field yet? He should be this
Packers.
Week.
Packers.
Yeah, they could use it, too, because they give up some points.
Hey, they're 4-1, man. 4-1. I will say, when I was in Chicago once, I did the Cubs White Sox. My son and I went to both stadiums in one day. It was one of the rare occasions, and it's pretty rare on the schedule when the White Sox and the Cubs are both at home on the same day. Typically, they alternate. But so the White Sox played a home game in the afternoon, like 1:00.
Mm-hmm.
So we all went to that game, sat behind home plate. What a great experience! Great day, beautiful day. And then the Cubs were playing that night, so we got on the train. Got on out to Wrigley Field, scalped some tickets, and we did both. We did the double dip. Pretty good sports day.
Yeah, what old do jerseys when you go to games? I mean, does Emmitt Smith's jersey still sell in Dallas? Does
I think so.
When you go to Green Bay, does Bart's? I mean, no. Brett Favre, does four still sell? Yeah, I mean, do those kind of jerseys still sell at places? What numbers do you see that are old timers that are still out throughout your ballpark? I got to believe Emmitt Smith jersey. Troy Aikman jerseys are still around, right?
Yeah,
I think
people
fans still
buy the Troy jersey.
Yo, people rock mad Romo jerseys at Cowboys games.
Number nine,
really?
Yes.
I would say like in Chicago, because my brain's in Chicago, Walter Payton, yeah, the 34.
I got to believe 34 is still rocking.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely, that never goes out of style.
Yeah, and Sweetness. Emmitt, that's why I said Emmitt, too. I bet you 22 still around a lot in Dallas. But they've had so many stars, you know?
You know what jersey they're not buying? In Norman? Spencer Rattler 7 jersey. That's not happening.
You know what they don't do in Philly? they don't have Donovan McNabb's jersey still hanging out.
5?
No, they don't.
Or Carson Wentz. They are still buying the Nick Foles jersey. I'm just saying.
Hell yeah, they are.
Hell yeah. Big you know what, Nick. Let's get to your headlines, trending topics on this wet morning. Top Gun, Lawn Equipment Rentals bring you the news. Texas football leads us off, and the Longhorns 2 days out now from opening up the second half of their 12-game slate, and it's a critical home tilt with 12th-ranked Oklahoma State. Texas, of course, does feature Bijan Robinson, ranks third nationally in total rushing yards and rushing yards per game. 5-0 Cowboys, though, come in featuring a top-10 rushing defense in the country. They have yet to allow a 100-yard rusher this season. Something's got to give there. Texas and Oklahoma State on what looks to be a beautiful Saturday morning at DKR, 11 o'clock kick, 7 a.m. Our pregame coverage goes live from Bevo Boulevard in the Texas Tail Garden. Big recruiting weekend for the Longhorns as well. Coach Sarkisian and his staff, according to Rivals.com, will have at least 5 national recruits making their official visits on Saturday. That would include one of the top offensive line recruits in the country for the class of 2022, Ernest Green from Bellflower, California. Also close to 24 prospects making unofficial visits, and that list includes some heavyweights. 5-star 2023 quarterback Arch Manning, expected to be here. El Campo running back Reuben Owens. And Del Valle High's wide receiver Braylon James, all for the class of 2023. Big win in soccer last night. On the pitch, it was the U.S. men's national team in Columbus, Ohio, falling behind early as Costa Rica put a goal on the board inside the first minute of the game. But the U.S. rallied with two of their own to win it 2-1 in a World Cup qualifier. Next up, a huge match with first-place Mexico November 12th. For Team USA. Major League Baseball, great game tonight on tap in San Francisco. It's the deciding game of the National League Divisional Series. Dodgers and Giants in San Francisco. Both teams have won 110 games to this point of the 2021 season. Whoever wins their 111th will advance to the NLCS to face the Braves. Astros, of course, can face the Red Sox in the ALCS beginning tomorrow night down at Minute Maid Park. Also tonight, Week 6 in the NFL opens with Tom Brady and the defending champion Buccaneers in Philadelphia to face the Eagles. Buccaneers 4-1, Philly is 2-3.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Football's back. Come do your end zone dance after you buy or rent the equipment you need and win a bottle of 1942 Don Julio or Blanton's Whiskey. TopGun.net will shoot you straight.
It says, remember in 2016 when you guys went to all the college football games on one weekend?
Yeah, we flew there. That was kind of cool.
That's when we were friends with Captain Jim, who's since like moved to Puerto Rico or something. He doesn't live among us any longer. No, he doesn't. He lives in like Puerto Rico. He gone. But Jim was great. And he was, we flew to, gosh, we started at the
Houston Tom Herman.
When Tom Herman was still the coach at Houston, it was a great weekend. It was
he was kissing dudes.
Yeah, he was kissing his players, and they beat the Sooners that day. We were there for the first half of that game.
That thing was going on too there.
And then we jumped back on, and Captain Jim hooked it up, man. We had like car service from the.
Yep.
We made a little video about it, and then we flew to Kyle Field to see the Aggies. They were playing UCLA. The quarterback of the Bruins that year was Josh Rosen. Remember that? That was such a hot day. That was about 1,000
degrees. Yeah, that's when they tried to put the Aggie bib on me, and I went, nah, that's okay.
I saw Myles Garrett destroy Josh Rosen, like I didn't think he was going to get up in that situation. And then we flew from there up to Arlington to see USC.
Alabama.
Play Alabama, and that was not
Roll
a close
Tide,
game.
Duh.
Roll Tide, duh. And then it was back to Austin where we watched Texas play Notre Dame. That Sunday night. So four games in 2 days and three on 1 day. That's what happens when you have private air travel.
That's true. That's what you can do.
That's what you can do.
That's exactly what you can do. You can see all the games
but
you want.
We mentioned Buck Onto the kid that stormed the field twice last Saturday. He was at the Texas OU game and stormed the field as part of the fan base and then went to the Aggie game and stormed the field with the Aggies. And he's got a video of it all. He's got documented proof. That's a pretty good day.
That is a good day.
It's a pretty good day. To be at both college football games, and if you were there just to be a fan like he was, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. All right, we mentioned, we have this Bijan Robinson conversation with Joel Klatt. Joel, the former Colorado quarterback, now doing the Fox. He's the lead analyst on Fox TV. He'll be on the broadcast with Gus Johnson on Saturday. We'll, of course, have the game with the Longhorn Radio Network right here. But this week on a show called Breaking the Huddle, Joel Klatt spoke with Bijan Robinson. Here's how that sounded.
Welcome back in. My favorite player, at least right now in college football, a guy I think is the best player in college football, is at the top of my Heisman list. Bijan Robinson from the University of Texas joins us now. Bijan, what's going on, man? How are you?
Man, I'm doing awesome. You know, just blessed to be here. Blessed to be here to talk to you and just, you know, share some things.
Hey, listen, I know I don't want to kick it off on the down note. You had an amazing game, including some epic runs. The run with the stiff arm was like... it was sensational. But how are you guys dealing with, you know, the fact that you didn't pull it out against Oklahoma? Take me into the kind of the team's mentality now as you guys face Oklahoma State this week.
You know, we're just short-minded. You know, we're not really thinking about the Oklahoma game anymore. You know, we understand that we do want to play them, you know, moving forward. So we got to take care of everybody, you know, everybody else who we got to play up against going forward. So Oklahoma State's our main focus right now. And, you know, we understood that, you know, last week was a hard loss, but, you know, we can't think about that kind of stuff. And, you know, we just got to stay positive and make sure that, you know, we're coming into this week, you know, executing and just playing our brand of football.
One of the things I talked about in the preseason was I thought you were the best running back in college football. And people were like, oh, you know, that's interesting. There's a lot of guys out there. And I was like, no. You don't understand. Like, he's ridiculously good. He can catch it. He can run it. He's explosive. Part of the reason I thought that is because we did your game at Kansas State a year ago when you went off. That for me was kind of your first, that was your first showcase. What changed for you in that game that started giving you confidence that you could come and dominate each week?
Well, you know, from last year as the season started going on, you know, I was getting, you know, some touches, you know, some experience, just trying to learn a lot. So when I had a chance to get in the games a lot more to start, everything started to slow down for me. And then, you know, towards the end of the season, when I started to play against, you know, Kansas State, you know, it completely slowed down for me and I started to understand the game. And, you know, just using my gift that, you know, God given me, it showed on that field. And I feel ever since then, you know, it's been going up, you know, for every game since I've been in.
I had some of the coaches at Colorado before your bowl game. They called me and they were like, "Hey, you did their games. What do you think we should do against Bijan?" And I was like, "Call timeout. You destroyed my Buffs, man, last year in the bowl game." I know. Also in the offseason, listen, you know, there's been some great players at the University of Texas. Ricky won a Heisman Trophy, and I know you've had a chance now to meet Ricky Williams and. Form a relationship. Can you take me into that? You know, what have you learned from him?
Yeah, so me and Ricky, we met in the summer, actually in Arizona for some event that they were going on, you know, out there at Scottsdale. And they invited me and him to sit at a table together. And, you know, that whole time for about 6 hours, we were just chopping it up about just everything, about his experiences in college, about my experiences that are still, you know, going on, and what I should look out for, and, you know, the connections I should make, you know, while I'm here. So ever since then, he's been in my ear. You know, we've been texting a lot. You know, he's always giving me good advice about, you know, maybe about football, maybe how to hit that hole, maybe how to hit a different hole, or just even life. So he's been a huge big brother for me. You know, I just appreciate him so much of, you know, guiding my steps, you know, because he took those steps, and his steps were amazing, and I'm trying to, you know, follow his.
Well, listen, your steps are becoming amazing before our eyes. Great job last week. Good luck moving forward. We'll be down there. Gus and I and Ginny are going to be down there in Austin. We can't wait to come down there. Awesome. Huge matchup against Oklahoma State. So we'll have you, man, on Fox this week. Great talking with you. Thanks for being here.
All right, number five, Bijan Robinson starting to get that national accolade. I heard Kirk Herbstreit on the broadcast, having gone back and watched it now, talk about being the best player in the sport right now after that run Joel Klatt alluded to, where he, you know, went to the right but then cut all the way back across the field on the sharp cut and then stiff-armed the defensive back to the ground and almost got to the end zone. That was a Ricky Williams-type run.
Yeah, it may not be about the numbers this year. I mean, there's no big-numbered guy that's out there right now when it comes to the Heisman race. It's for Texas, it's about you keep winning the games, and he keeps gathering a certain amount of numbers, but it's supposed to be about the best player. Maybe we'll see that the actual best player and not the best numbered player on the best team wins. That'll be interesting to see how that goes this season.
Early straw polls, I mean, you're talking about Matt Corral at Ole Miss, Bryce, I mean, who are you going to give it to?
That's what I mean, yeah.
And you know, but he does have the numbers. I mean, I think what you're saying, it's not going to be about wins and losses. I mean, if Texas goes 9-3,
yeah.
And I have compared this Texas team. It does remind me to 99 Texas, which that was Ricky Williams. That was their 98 Texas. That was Mac Brown's first year. I shouldn't say 98 Texas, where Mac Brown came in, and there were some holes on defense for sure. But you had a young quarterback named Major Applewhite, and you had a young running back, or a senior running back named Ricky Williams. And Mac Brown saddled him up and, you know, won a Heisman Trophy and won 9 football games that year. And I think, you know, it's similar to this team. This team's not perfect in a lot of places, right? The O-line, the defense is leaky. And they've got some, you know, it's just the players they've inherited in those spots. They've got to do some recruiting there. But you do have a great player. And I'll give Sark this, too. When, you know, it's been a rough week for Sark and the staff dealing with not finishing that game. But they've also developed a go-to wide receiver. And Xavier Worthy, as a true freshman, is balling out. And, you know, they're going to continue to feed him and develop him. And, you know, you got Casey Thompson, Bijan Robinson, Xavier Worthy. You've got a chance to be an explosive offense.
Yeah, as I said, you got stars on your offensive side of the football.
Right. That's right.
That's what's great about this team. You have real life stars, and you're going to have stars yet to come to play in this type of offense with this type of coach who can get you in the right places and get things done for you.
Yeah, let me look at individual yardage. I mean, yardage from scrimmage. I mean, that's the thing about, you know, if Texas goes 9-3 and can win some of these big games, like this is a nationally televised game on Saturday. You know,
and that's why it is. People want to see this kid.
Yeah, he's must see TV these days.
Right.
But if he, you know, if they go 9-3 and he puts up those highlight reel runs, I mean, he's absolutely going to be in the mix because there really isn't a guy that.
Yeah, Sam Howard is gone. I mean, he's out of all this. So, you know, he was supposed to be one of the top guys, and North Carolina has just struggled.
Sam Howell, yeah. I mean, not
and
doing.
And so is he.
Well, yeah. Who's having a great year right now in college football? I mean, Georgia's defense. You give the Heisman to the Georgia defense. I mean, they're playing at a historically great level. But individual players, yeah, I think it's fair to say that, you know.
And you'll find out if the quarterback from Alabama, if they bounce back and they go deep into it and that guy's just started putting up numbers, because I don't expect them to go backwards now. I expect Nick Saban's group to be really ticked off from this point on.
Yes. See if I can find these numbers, because, I mean, he's right there. I mean, he's third in the nation in Bijan Robinson in rushing yards total. He's third in yards per game. He's top five in total yards from scrimmage.
Yeah, yards per game will be good that with his catching ability.
Yeah, he's elite in yards per carry. And then he gets the highlight reel runs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, but they've got to win these games. I mean, had they won the game Saturday, I mean, you might be talking about Bijan Robinson as the front runner for the Heisman Trophy.
That would have been enough yardage right there.
Yeah, 137 and yeah. a couple, you know, a win over the, at the time, you know, sixth ranked team in the country.
He's getting a rock on Saturday morning, folks.
Well, and that becomes.
Against this defense. Believe me, he's getting the ball.
And to this point, Oklahoma State can boast that they're really good. I mean, they have not allowed a 100 yard rusher.
Which makes it even better for him.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the Fox and they'll present all those facts and stats. And, you know, Deuce Vaughn, 13 carries, 22 yards in their game with K-State. But Baylor. You know, their leading rusher had just 80 yards. I mean, they're doing a good job. They played Boise State, who's a pretty good running team. They had two backs get 20 carries for 50 yards. So they're stingy. And we talked to Sam Mays, the former Oklahoma State offensive lineman earlier. And he's been to the games and said, this defense is legit, guys. I mean, they've got, you know, some individual players, but the team brand of defense they play is really good. It's kind of the opposite of what we saw from Texas do last week. They know their assignment. They know the gaps. They stay in them. They're
good athletes on defense.
Gap integrity and good athletes.
There's no doubt about it. Speaking of stats, the folks over at Jaguar Land Rover of Austin, that's the Snell family. Here's a stat. Since 1973, Don Snell Sr. has been getting it done. They want to earn your trust and, of course, your respect by giving you great service each and every time you come through the door. It's a privilege to be the provider of all your automotive needs, and for 9 times, they've been the Pinnacle Award winners. Damon Spears and the gang over there, he is the general manager. When you do go, say hello to Damon Spears, of course. And there are others over there, Chris Matthews and Brad. Talk to Brad over there in pre-owned about one of those pre-owned cars at Jaguar Land Rover. I'll be there tomorrow for lunch, 11:30 sharp. We'll be talking, we won't talk about OU anymore. We're talking about Oklahoma State. 11:30, you got free parking and you got free lunch from Smoky Mo's. Discovery Sports, the Range Rover. It's all there for you to check out. Try the 2021 Defender, the SUV of the year. 3 floors of incredible excellence. Come and experience the team at Jaguar Land Rover Austin. Jaguar, no ordinary cat, no ordinary car, and Land Rover above and beyond. 1515 5th Street, Austin, Texas.
ATX, you know who's number one in rushing in college football this year? Kenneth Walker from Michigan State. 913 yards
already.
It's a quiet,
you know, as you
Didn't
said,
he a
though,
transfer in?
Yeah, but you, they,
Who?
as you said, they're going to have to play Michigan. That Big Ten has some teams that got to play each other and kind of figure that out. Now, we've already figured out Indiana. I'm still, if Penn State has, if their quarterback can come back, which I still don't know what's wrong with that cat. They got that thing under wraps. I got to believe he got a rib injury, E. When he, the way he was holding his, it wasn't his shoulder. Penn State's quarterback in that game. I think they got rib injury. You know, can you play with ribs as a quarterback? People do it, right? They've done that before. Just don't get hit in the ribs, which is hard not to do as a quarterback. But I think Penn State's still in the thick of things. I think they would have won that game against Iowa. Iowa's in it. Michigan State's in it. Ohio. Don't leave out Ohio State. Don't leave out the Buckeyes. They only have one loss. Look out for them.
At home to Oregon, but you're right. They seem to rally back, and they blew out Maryland this past weekend. Kenneth Walker, the leading rusher in the nation, is a transfer to Michigan State from Wake Forest.
Wow.
Portal guy. So he leads the nation, and then there's Sean Tucker.
And you still told me Wake Forest is undefeated. They did not get beat by Syracuse, right, last week?
Wake Forest is undefeated.
Still undefeated.
Yeah, 6-0. There are a lot of teams that are 6-0 for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, Georgia's number one. Iowa. Is undefeated. UT San Antonio, come on, man.
Roadrunners.
Get
after them, bringing
it.
Beep.
Yeah, Wake Forest is one of those 6-0 ball clubs early on in this season. All right, we'll talk with Chris Beard coming next, our biweekly visits with the Texas basketball coach. We'll give his thoughts on the passing of Leon Black. Leon was a fixture at practices watching Texas hoops. That happened this week. Also, Tom Penders will be going into the Longhorn Hall of Honor this weekend. He'll be in town, so we'll ask Coach Beard about his memories of working with and working under Tom Penders when he was here at Texas as a GA and an aspiring coach. So we'll talk to Coach Beard. Coming next, also Craig Way has a Craig Way report on this Thursday. We've got your salacious gossip and a blitz, and hoping to talk to Ricky Williams in the 9 o'clock hour. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Well, that one, I thought we had a little computer glitch there, but that's just the jam
don't
from
stop,
Isaiah
don't
Collier.
Stop, don't stop. Don't stop.
I saw a note from the Texas football Twitter account that promoting Xavier Worthy as Big Play Zay.
I like that. I like that a lot.
We got our own Big Play Zay in there. Isaiah Collier doing his thing. But,
and by the way, if Bijan needed 10 yards, I would try to be aware of getting him 10 yards for 1,000 yards. Yes. Thank you very much. Chris Bennett. You didn't have to bring that up.
That was Ricky Williams' freshman year. But without further ado, let's go right to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. He is the basketball coach at the University of Texas. Longhorns open their season November 9th against Houston Baptist, and they're about 11 or 12 practices into their workouts, getting ready for that season. He is Chris Beard. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
How we doing? Let me ask you this from the coaching side. We're talking about this with the football side, the ability to close games. You know, one of the issues that the football team has had is fourth quarters and being their best in critical moments and big moments. How do you coach that with your team over your time to be to execute at an elite level in the most critical moments of a close basketball game?
Yeah, I think that's a big deal of it. You know, we start our journey every season explaining to our fellows like the difference between, you know, fourth place and the ladder and the pair of scissors is, you know, normally five or six close games in our sport. I think football is no different, same percentage. One thing we do is we spend a lot of time just talking about our exact plan in the last 4 minutes we do. We talk a lot about playing it to the bone, playing it the right way. You know, you're not going to make every shot in the last 4 minutes, and you might not get every stop, but our big deal is we're going to try to play it the right way down the stretch.
Coach, your assistant coaches, the input of assistant coaches, I don't want you to give away any secrets, but what's their kind of input before, during, and even post-game after that? Do you get input immediately? Is it the next day, or do you guys, you know, when guys are going home, you guys sit there and talk about, you know, before, during, and after?
All of the above. You know, I've been really blessed in my career. It's not a secret. I try to surround myself with people that are really, really good at what they do. I've always had an objective on my staff to have somebody that even has more experience than me, maybe my strengths, my weaknesses, other guys kind of accent those. So I know on this first year's Texas staff, I'm really proud to have Rodney Terry join us. You know, RT had been the head coach at Fresno and UTEP. Obviously was here at Texas during the height of the run with Coach Barnes. That's just one example on our staff. So, and with that kind of talent, that I'm surrounded with daily, then absolutely those guys have huge input on what we do, whether it be preparation, in-game coaching, then certainly after the game when we kind of reflect and figure out where we go from here.
You know, so as a freshman, Ricky Williams needed 10 yards to get 1,000 yards his freshman year, and myself as the running back coach and assistant coach, I thought it was my job to coach and not to keep stats for a guy. I've been taking this beating forever, including Ricky now, and he's joined in with the rest of these people on that 10 yards he didn't get to have 1,000 yards. That's not my job, right?
Man, that's a tough one, Coach.
Oh, come on.
You know, it's you know, kind of like in basketball, when a guy's one rebound from the first triple-double in school history, these kinds of things. From time to time over the years, I've had an assistant kind of pop me on the shoulder and say, hey, what do you want to do with this? That's a tough one.
I blame it on John Bianco, Coach. That's John Bianco's job. He's supposed to come down or somebody's supposed to get that to me, right?
He's not right there, is he?
Yeah, I agree with that. We kind of blame a lot of things on Scotty Mack as well, so I understand that one.
Yeah, blame it on Scott McConnell, who always does a great job for us and a great friend of our show. Coach, the as we say, you're 11 practices in. You'll have your 12th practice today, and I know you guys are, as you said to us on your visits, you're fighting time here and trying to bring this new group together, form it in with the players that were here. How is that going so far halfway through your workouts allowed?
Yeah, it's going well. I think our efforts are in the right place. Our guys are trying to play the right way. We just lack experience playing together. And that's something we're trying to combat each day. We're probably playing in terms of live play, scrimmaging more than ever, just because I think it's kind of key to get these guys on the same page. It's an exciting weekend for us with Texas basketball. You know, Tom Pender just coming back from town this weekend as he gets inducted into the, what do they call it here, Hall of Fame?
Hall of Honor, yep.
Hall of Honor, yep.
Yeah, so Coach P will be at practice today, so that'll be great. And then it's just so great just to hear from all the old players. Travis Mays, he texted last night and wanted to know where to park when he came to practice. I said, well, why don't you just hit the intercom, tell him you're one of the best guards that ever played in this program, and you can take my spot, Travis.
Wow.
So it's going to be awesome seeing all those guys this weekend.
You know, I was around when Coach Black was there, but I it was always – he and I were just kind of always in passing – but you're talking about a beloved coach and a beloved person around the program and around the University of Texas. How well did you know Coach Black and the field, that the former players and people that have just been touched by Coach Black?
Yeah, one of the coolest times of my short period in Austin back so far was I got a chance to spend a little bit of time with Coach Black and his wife, actually at his house. I think it was the first weekend of school. We took our players by there to see Coach. Coach was set up in the front yard with some chairs around and stuff, and we actually had a really, really quality conversation all the way to the point where he was asking about our defense and things like that. But, you know, I would argue Coach Black is, in a lot of ways, the face of Texas basketball, if you think about it. He played at the University of Texas. He was an assistant coach at UT, and then he obviously was a successful head coach with, you know, multiple championships and NCAA tournament bids. So, and then after that, I think what separates him from maybe others is just his love of the university. You know, he was a normal at all the games. He had his seats right there in that section and just supported so many coaches all the way down to Shaka in games, and then certainly was supporting us in our first 5 months here. So he's special. I would argue he's one of the all-time greats men basketball people at UT.
Of course, Coach Leon Black passed away earlier this week at 89 here in Austin, and sad day, as you just heard the thoughts of Coach Beard. And, of course, Leon went into the Hall of Honor in 89. Tom Penders goes into the Hall of Honor this weekend, and that'll be a great treat for you, Coach, to be a part of that. And I'm sure you'll spend some time with Coach P, as you called him, this weekend, and maybe show him around Austin a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome having Coach back and then all the players back. Lance Blanks is doing something for Coach. We obviously have the ceremony, and then tonight we expect Coach Penders to be at practice. So we actually changed practice time for him today. There's not a lot of people I would do that for, but certainly for Coach Penders, it was no problem.
You know, Coach, when you coach and using, I wanted to ask you something about, especially about coaching, offense, defense, using the timeouts, the momentum stoppers, creating momentum for your team, TV timeouts and all that, do you have to keep track of some of that mentally? I know you've been doing this for a while, so you know when the TV timeouts. I have no clue. You hear about a TV timeout getting ready to happen, and just for the normal fan, we're wondering, what the hell does that mean, the timeouts? Does the assistant coach tell you about the timeouts, or are you always aware of that stuff at this part of your career?
You know, it's a really unique part of our game that I agree with you. Most fans might not know about it, but, like, basically – every 4 minutes, the next dead ball is a TV timeout. So our game is basically in spurts of 4 minutes. And that's why a lot of things in practice that we do are in 4 minute segments, including finishing the game that we talked about earlier in this conversation. So we try to get our guys to play as hard as they can in 4 minute spurts, and those timeouts are pivotal. Another thing we really believe in, I think I got this from Jay Wright at Villanova, but just, you know, trying to win the first possession coming out of a timeout. So we try not to play the scoreboard. We play the game. But certainly that first possession coming out of a timeout, whether we're on offense or defense, you know, if you win that possession over the course of the game, you know, that's 10 possessions. And normally in a tight Big 12 game, if you can win 10 possessions, you know, you're going to win the game.
So, Chris, whether you're winning or losing, if you're losing big, when you come out of a timeout, your expectations are, dudes, we need to win this from this time out. It's not that, oh, the game is over with and I'm just calling the timeout to stop momentum. We statistically still need to win that. That's a part of every game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we try to – the scoreboard's kind of the outcome, you know, and we try to focus kind of on the process of each play. So hopefully here in a few days when we take the floor November 9th, that home opener, our fans will see that, and it'll be obvious. You know, we're gonna play each possession like we should at the University of Texas, and regardless of what that scoreboard says, you know, hopefully you look out there and you see Texas basketball.
I was looking, Coach, at the Big 12 preseason men's basketball honors, and that came out this week. And of course, you got some Baylor guys, some Kansas guys. Marcus Carr, your guard, is a preseason, you know, All Big 12 player and newcomer of the year. But is that something your guys pay attention to? Do you guys even look at that?
You know, I think saying that they don't probably wouldn't be being truthful, but we're pretty quick to remind the guys that, you know, this time of year it's kind of just all rat poison, right? It's more important to be in those postseason polls or postseason awards than preseason. Plus, it's just the sheer volume of guys in our league. You know, it's hard to pick 10 players. Like this year's, I normally don't talk about specific situations, but I got no problem talking about this. I mean, Courtney Ramey is one of the best players in the Big 12, period. He's a guy, if we if we all do our jobs, he'll have a chance to play in the NBA. And I don't think he was on the preseason list, which, again, isn't disrespecting any of the players that are on there. They deserve it. But I'd be pretty quick to tell you, you know, it doesn't really matter what's going on preseason. I know in our last spot at Tech, you know, I think Jarrett Culver wasn't even picked on a preseason poll, and he's the Big 12 Player of the Year. And there's a lot of examples like that in the history of the league. So congrats to all the guys that did get it, because it's real, especially in a league as good as ours. But, you know, it really doesn't matter until we get out there and start playing. And I would tell you again, I can't wait to coach Courtney Ramey. In my eyes, he's a first-team all-Big 12 player preseason. I just wasn't able to vote on him. You know, they don't let the coaches vote on their own players. If that was the case, Courtney would be on there.
That's interesting you mentioned Courtney. Last week we talked, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about Andrew Jones. I mean, I think fans and maybe even us, we kind of get caught up in these newcomers and new guys in. Those are two really good basketball players, and four guys that are still back that have done and played a lot of basketball. That's a good core and a good group to start with in your backcourt.
Yeah, I'm really appreciative and grateful for those four guys trusting us and the coaching changes. You know, coaching changes are hard. There's a lot of business in them. There's a lot of emotion in them. But for those four guys, Jason, Brock, and Drew, and Courtney, you know, to trust us and the coaching change means the world to me. A lot of respect for Shaka and what he did with those four players, and I can't wait to coach them. And, you know, there's no asterisks next to it. I've always had a really hard time with the coach that gets up there and says, hey, you know, wait till I get my guys in here. I mean, look, transfer portal, guys can transfer, all that stuff's over. So these four guys are guys that I would have recruited, whether they were at, you know, California or Florida. We would have gone after these four players. And just because they happened to be here, it was actually a break for us. But those four players, I can't wait to coach.
I can't wait to see them play. And we know Courtney Ramey, Andrew Jones, of course, Brock Cunningham, Jace Febres, and then the seven newcomers in from the transfer portal. Coach, it's getting closer and closer. And I know next week, you know, with the Longhorn football team on a bye week, you're going to jump in for Coach Sark on Longhorn Weekly. I know Craig Way sent us a note on that you'll be down at the Pluckers location there on campus and previewing the basketball season while the football team takes a week off. Let's get some folks out there and have some fun and start talking some basketball next week.
Yeah, exciting time of the year, you know, with everything going on, and obviously volleyball is still killing it, soccer. So, you know, it's a unique place to coach. You go to the dining hall every day and you look around, and you know, there's an Olympian, there's the number one team in the country, there's the number one guy in the next draft. So we just plan on doing our part. You know, men's basketball is a small part of this whole deal, but we're going to pull our own weight or die trying.
Absolutely. Coach, look forward to our next visit and really look forward to our weekly visits once the season gets tipped off on November the 9th. And tell Coach Penders we said hello when he's in town this week. He's been a friend a long time, so appreciate him being and him going to the Hall of Honor for the University of Texas. It's a great honor for him and well-deserved, and tell him we said hello.
Thank you, Coach.
Will do. Thank you, fellas.
All right, Chris Beard, his bi-weekly visit, and those will become weekly visits as of November 9th when they start playing basketball games. And he's always a good, just a very candid guy. And I like that, you know, the question about, because this week has been dominated by Texas football in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says we've got our 4-minute plan, and that might not be a bad idea for Sark, right? I mean, when we get in critical moments, let's all focus on the plan. You have to rep that right in practice. And this is our final 4-minute plan or final 2-minute plan, or guys, we need whatever you know, rip open the emergency envelope. Guys, this is
right.
Our we need a first down or two on this drive. Here are our plays. Here's what we've worked on in practice to be our best in real critical moments on both sides of the football. He calls it his 4-minute plan, Chris Beard, when you get to the final 4 minutes of a basketball game. But that's when you have to perform at your best to win these close football games.
So every 4 minutes, TV timeout, huh?
Oh, yeah. 16, 12, yeah. 8,
that's,
4.
That's cool to know. You do have to spurt it out right there.
Yeah, 16, 12, 8, 4.
And you want to win each one of those timeouts coming back.
Yeah.
I got it.
And, I think Sark now understands this team, for whatever, the mentality, the mental, you know, intensity. Now, there were moments in that fourth quarter last week where you just had to, guys, we have to have a drive here. We've got to have it.
Or we got to have a stop here.
Yeah, we got to have it. And we've got to execute at our best right now.
Yes.
And I do think that's something you have to rep. You have to practice it all the time, every day in practice. There's got to be, and I'm not saying they don't, but, you know, the fourth quarter has been a major problem for Texas so far this year.
And I believe you got to rep the fact that you're going to get out ahead. We got offensive schemes that can get us going. Now what do you do?
How do you play with the lead? Yeah.
Yeah. How are you going to play with these leads?
All right. We'll come back. When we do, oh, it's your time to shine coming off of Coach Beard, who shined very well. Let's bring the blitz, 447-3776. A little gossip in there first. It is Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just the gossip. It's brought to you by Bud Light. That's right, Bud Light, only four great ingredients and the world's favorite light beer, though. It's the number one selling light beer on the planet, and it certainly will be tonight when you're watching Giants-Dodgers for, gosh, I want to say all the marbles, but they've been the two best teams in baseball all year, 110 wins together, each of them, and the winner tonight will play the Braves in the NLCS. Also tonight, Buccaneers-Eagles. Can the Eagles keep in this game?
As I said, they'll score late. It depends on what you mean by keeping this game.
Like when this game hits the middle of the third quarter, will it be in doubt who's going to win it or not?
I think Buccaneers will probably be up by about 10 points, and Eagles may score late in that fourth quarter. Give it up for the – hey, it's all about winning with them, but it's not about just winning for them. It's about winning for me.
You people. Yes, sir. BetUS.
Absolutely.
That'll be tonight, and of course, into the weekend for all of your tailgate parties and getting together. See us at Texas Tail Garden. Rod Babers and myself will be over there, 17th and San Jack, on Saturday morning. And by the way, I did see this, Buck. In addition to being cool at game time Saturday, cool temperatures.
45 degrees about the time we'll be over there.
I also saw a note that Saturday is expected to be breezy. Breezy in the ATX and throughout Central Texas. So wind could be a factor.
Make a difference in the kicking game.
Kicking game, maybe the passing game is a little bit. And you know, Spencer Sanders against Casey Thompson, the quarterback matchup in that game on Saturday. But beautiful. Gosh, the weather's going to be fantastic. I know right now it's a little bit rough. And gosh, 8, 9, 10 inches of rain overnight in some areas. So there'll be low water crossings. I'm looking at some pictures of where I live, Onion Creek, the original course underwater that runs right along Onion Creek. That's supposed to crest at 19 feet. Did I hear Zay during the break? You and he were talking about The Bachelor, his favorite TV show.
Yeah, man.
Zay, did you say there's someone from Anderson High School that's on The Bachelor this year?
Yeah, my guy PJ.
PJ.
He's a contestant.
Yeah. I saw him smooching her. They get a little smooch in there.
I mean, there's a lot of black people this season, so it could have been somebody else, but yeah.
Yeah, I saw. I haven't watched that. I haven't watched Survivor either.
Why not? That's your show with your wife.
Shh, no, just don't get her going on that.
I'm almost caught up on Ted Lasso. I mean, we got through, I think we're through 10 or 11 episodes of season 2, even though the tearjerker one, the real tearjerker that everyone had been talking about, we saw that one. Ted Lasso continues. That's our go-to show on Netflix when it's time, or Apple TV when it's time to binge watch something, but I have not. So no Survivor for you yet.
No,
huh?
I watched it when she wasn't around. I watched it alone, and I'm not very. People aren't very interesting on there. You know what I mean?
Ask Coach Beard if he watches The Bachelor.
No, I'm going to say he doesn't. No, I'm going to say he's probably got other things.
Remind me next time. I got to ask him, because every guy who's married has a guilty pleasure show that they end up having to watch.
They have to watch them.
And Ted Lasso's that's for everybody.
Speaking of Coach Beard, we need to go over there to campus for that one next week.
Yeah, we're trying to set it up to go over and watch some practice. Some practice at the facility. But he's got to have a show, right? Everybody's got a show that maybe they wouldn't watch if not for the spouse.
You know what? I bet you he watches reruns of The Office. I bet she's an office guy.
But no, what's the show he watches that his wife wants him to watch? With her.
Like
stuff that just end up... Like the one I won't tolerate anymore.
The lady that does the cooking show.
Ooh, Rachel Ray? Oh, man. Because mine has always like been the fixer-upper things, right? My wife loves the fixer-upper shows.
I love those alone.
Really?
Myself.
Like Chip and JoJo? And
yeah.
They got the group that does it down in Galveston.
Also,
they're fixing up houses in Galveston.
I also watch the one where you're going to like it, or are you going to love it,
or
you're
going to
list it.
Oh,
yeah.
I hate that show.
Come on, man.
The realtor and they act like they don't like each other. And
I don't
really
like the
stupid.
Lady. I don't like the lady.
But you are a fan of the Property Brothers, my friend.
I am not. Those two dudes...
And you try to call them like they're not that there's anything wrong with being gay, that they're gay, but they're not. They're both married. You always try to tell me that. I'm like, no, they both have wives. You met them on the show. They're brothers.
Says, no.
They're
no.
brothers.
You sure?
Yes.
Are they twins?
Yes, they're, well, gosh, I don't know if they're like identical twins, but they certainly look like it.
They do, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So those
I'm learning.
We'll have to ask Coach Beard. But we'll ask Ricky Williams. Does he have a guilt or pleasure show coming up?
I'm going
to
definitely say no.
He's got to have a show he likes.
He doesn't watch TV. I guarantee you when we talk, if we talk to him, he's going to say, no, dude, I'm married. I'm not watching TV. I don't watch TV. The guy's outside looking at the stars.
He's an astrologist.
Yeah.
He's a professional.
I want to say he's on the latest episode of Eli's Places on ESPN, and Eli Manning and Ricky are doing yoga together.
See?
Oh, we got to talk to this
guy. Wasn't
he
on Big Brother? He was on Big Brother, Ricky. He was on the show.
That was like 5 years ago. That's
with
how
Kato
long that's
Kalen.
Been. Yeah, I know. And he was too nice a guy. That's why they threw him off.
Let's go. Well, maybe
giving everybody massages.
Doing
he was.
Therapeutic massages.
Yes.
Let's go to your blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Coach Beard, leave me out to dry a little bit on that 10-yard thing.
He was kind of on the other side of it, it sounded like.
That wasn't good. First blitzer, you're up.
Let's get the record straight. You won the first quarter. You lost every quarter thereafter. And put some respect on my name. Before the season, I told you, I'll take five. You can have the field.
Ooh, he's taking five. Next blitzer, you're up.
V&E.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Say, I get it. All gas, no brakes. So if you're going to go all gas, no brakes, don't you got to fill the darn thing up before you run out of gas?
You fill it all the way to the top. Absolutely. Next blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, hey, this is Deshaun Watson. Hey, can y'all ask Ricky if I can get a massage from him?
No, I'm not. No. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, what happened to all those OU sucked blitzers?
Oh, well.
They're gone.
They're messing with the quarterback debate.
They'll be back next year. Next blitzer, you're up.
Given the history of these two teams playing, your strategy in the fourth quarter is do not put it in the hands of the official.
That's for sure. Home or away.
Oklahoma State.
Home or away. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, I like that idea that Coach Beard's got. Go hard for 4 minutes between timeouts. I use that with my girlfriend.
No, hey.
Shut it down! Let's go home!
Every 4 minutes and they get a little TV timeout. Yeah.
Best 4 minutes
nothing wrong
of her
with
life.
That.
You know
that's
what I'm
right.
saying? Best 4 minutes she's ever had.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Trust me, we've gotten a lot of those texts this morning when I say 8 inches and 9 inches.
Yeah, I can't say anything.
7 inches. I can't
it's because of you people.
It's you people.
That's
I can't
right.
even tell you how much rain there's been without
absolutely.
You guys cracking wise about, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Best 4 inches she's ever
my
had.
Wife said.
That's what she said. Sure, that's what she said. Yeah. I bet that's
hey,
right.
9 inches in Blanco?
Oh,
that's what she said.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, welcome to our world. But we foster it, I think, so we appreciate y'all. There's no doubt about that. It's the show of the people. We'll come back with the more Buck-ons and Buck-offs, and hopefully hear from the astrologist himself, the great Ricky Williams.